Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
5 o'clock on this Friday afternoon.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And by Wendy's. Try the new pretzel Baconator today. All right, yesterday I gave you the five guys we're going to be cursing the next 2 weeks as far as maybe enemies here in New York. I'm going to give you the five New York athletes that have to be dudes this weekend.
Okay.
All right, here we go, Loogie.
Here we go!
Number five.
Sneaky big series for the Metsies this weekend. Francisco Lindor, got to be a dude this weekend.
Let's see him wake up. And they're facing some right-handed pitchers, which means Lindor's got to do it from his weaker side, the left side, including Tiki's boy on the mound tonight, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Yeah. Five hits in the last four games. Still a negative war for Lindor, so let's pick that up. Big weekend with the Dodgers.
It's a big week.
Like a big weekend. Sucks that this game is at 10 o'clock tonight.
No, but hold on now.
What's wrong with that? I'll be locked
Evan
in.
Evan loves it.
I know that hockey, basketball, and stuff's taking priority. But for the Mets, they just built up all this momentum, sigh of relief off day. You're playing big boy pants now with the Dodgers.
Honestly, this may sound like a loser. Just get me a win in L.A. Just get me a win.
Okay.
Just get me a win. You stay above 500 going to San Francisco. Obviously, if they do better than that, I'll be ecstatic. But I think right now, when you are on a winning streak and you're playing really good baseball, you don't want to give it all back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if they got swept, I'd be upset. Just get me a win. And why not tonight against Yamamoto?
Right. Be a dog, Lindor. Here we go.
Number four.
We will Brock you.
Oh, Brocktober.
Brock Nelson.
Dude.
34-goal regular season, 4 goals in the final 3 games. Needs to stay hot if the Islanders are going to outscore Carolina clearly here.
There you go. Brock Nelson, why not at number four?
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Aaron Judge.
Dude.
Aaron Judge.
You know what?
Why, because of his bobblehead on Saturday?
Not only that, Wednesday was a really big hit. Beat the Blue Jays, avoided the sweep. Now you have a pain-in-the-ass Rays team, only 2.5 games back. What we want to see here from Judge to be a dude? Build on what happened Wednesday. Don't let it be a one-off. Yeah, Let's get him going here.
He's just got to be a little bit of himself. Not even fully himself yet. Just be a little bit of yourself.
But that's why he doesn't have to go back to being a dog. Right. Just be a dude here.
Yeah. Dude.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Artemi Panarin.
Dude.
Yeah, he better be.
Shaved his head in the offseason after being upset with his performance versus the Devils last year. 49 goals. He has to be a dude.
There are two guys that will face immense criticism if the New York Rangers underachieve. Now, obviously, performance will answer that more than just me saying this before a game is played, but clearly the guys with the pressure. One is Igor Shesterkin.
No doubt.
And number two is Artemi Panarin. He's a great player. He's got to do it in a big spot.
Last but not least, Ev.
Number one.
It's Jalen Brunson.
Dude.
All we've heard about is dudes, dogs, damage, all of that. Jalen Brunson, you feel like the Knicks have been disrespected? You didn't make Team USA? Be a dude starting tomorrow night.
Dude!
Interesting. There you go. Cinco de Fivo every day at 5 o'clock. Can I tell you the most important?
I think that one's just a guarantee. It's happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why he's not the most important, yeah. Nick. I'm going to tell you the guy right now who I look at and say, I think his performance is going to dictate if the Knicks win this series or not. Because, look, at the end of the day, stars have to be stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Jalen Brunson isn't Jalen Brunson, they're dead.
Yeah, they have no shot.
If Joel Embiid isn't Joel Embiid,
same thing.
They're dead, right? So I think it's a given your stars need to be stars. But I'm going to give you the guy, especially because of the way I think Philadelphia is going to defend him. I think Philadelphia is going to dare Josh Hart to shoot. They're going to dare him. They're going to sag off Josh Hart all night. Now, here's one thing about Josh Hart, who is a dude and a dog, and quite frankly does a lot of damage, especially to Net fans when he makes fun of us. Josh Hart last year, put the memory hats on, Knick fans, hit the biggest shot of the postseason. That's right. Josh Hart, game one in Cleveland. Knicks are blowing a game that they controlled the entire day. And here's the way I described it in the hotel room to my sleeping wife in the city of Philadelphia watching a game on DVR that night. I said, honey, Josh Hart just LeBroned it because it was a LeBron moment of dribble. I got to do something. And he hits this monster three. You guys don't remember the play, Loogie?
Absolutely.
If Josh Hart has his confidence back, which sometimes he doesn't have, shooting from the outside, it makes such a big difference. And then, of course, his ability to rebound, defend, run the floor after a rebound and turn into easy points. Like, I honestly think of all the role players, I'd put Josh Hart number one. I think he's most important.
Well, the lucky thing for the Knicks is that they have a mitigator should he not have his confidence in shooting, and that's Deuce. Like, Deuce, if they have to replace Josh, just from a shooting perspective, you can't replace any of the other stuff. At least I don't think so, at least from the rebounding and the defense. But if they need someone to just shoot, Deuce can do it.
You know where Deuce is also really, really important? And that's like my second X factor. It's like you're reading my mind. Is Deuce's ability to defend Tyrese Maxey.
Yes.
Because the Knicks, look, I love Jalen Brunson. They're going to hunt Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. They're going to hunt him defensively.
Right.
And Deuce McBride may find his way getting big postseason minutes because of his ability to defend, especially someone as quick as Tyrese Maxey. So this will be fun, and it all starts on Saturday. But I want to give you a piece of information. And this information, you can use at a party, you can use it at a bar, you can use it to your friends, you can use it however the hell you want. But for years, Joe Beningo would say to me, bro, we need to win game one. Because if we don't win game one at Madison Square Garden, we're dead. We never win. And I always took it as Joe just hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to do the research and find out, like, what does he mean? Like, when the Knicks lose game one at Madison Square Garden, we all have our memories over the last 30 years, but I want to go back to the beginning. I want to see the entire history of this franchise.
Wow.
What did the Knicks do when they lose game one at Madison Square Garden? And I've got the answer.
Okay.
1959, they lost game one of the Eastern Conference Division Finals to the Syracuse Nationals. By the way, the Syracuse Nationals, anybody know who they are?
No.
Anybody know who that franchise is?
No.
Just use logic. Who do you think the Syracuse Nationals
are? The Nets.
No, the Nets. No, relevant.
Toronto?
The Sixers. Sixers.
The Sixers. Huh. Hey, we go. You didn't know that?
How did you get from Syracuse to Philly?
I love Do you know that the Buffalo Braves were the LA Clippers?
That I knew, but I don't understand how a city as small as Syracuse got a team before Philly.
Do you know the Rochester Royals ended up in Sacramento eventually and became the Kings? Did you know that?
Right, no. That's how they went from Royal to King.
Yeah. Did you know the Chicago Zephyrs ended up as the... I don't know. Actually, this one I may be wrong about. I'm usually good with this. I think the Chicago Zephyrs turned into the Washington Wizards eventually, but I could be wrong. Anyhow. Knicks lost game one at home in 1959 to Syracuse, lost the series 2-0. 1969, Eastern Division Finals, the old Eastern Conference Finals, lost game one at home to the Boston Celtics, lost the series in six. 1981, lost game one at home to the Chicago Bulls, first round, lost the series 2-0. It was best of three at the time. 1989, lost game one, second round against the Chicago Bulls, lost the series in six. 1995, lost game one at Madison Square Garden, second round of the playoffs, lost the series in seven. 2013, lost game one, Madison Square Garden on a Sunday sleepy afternoon, lost the series in six. Roy Hibbert says hi. 2021, you remember this one, the Atlanta Hawks lost game one, Madison Square Garden, Trae Young game, lost the series. And then, of course, last year, game one, Miami Heat, me and Loogie.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Madison Square Garden, lost the series. So I'll do the math for you. They have a record of 0-9 in their history when they lose game one at Madison Square Garden. Wow. I know, Tiki, you don't love history very much.
Oh,
would
I actually,
you admit?
I enjoy history.
So you like that? Was that a good history lesson?
It was a great history lesson.
Thank you. Do you like that, Loogie?
It's interesting. No, it's a useless stat.
Do you think that's useless?
Of course it's useless. What does it have to do with anything?
Last year they lost game one at Madison Square Garden to Miami.
Big deal.
Big deal. Right.
If last year I got a root canal, does that mean I'm going to get one this year? It has nothing to do.
You're
year
right.
to year.
Realistically, it doesn't. And those who dwell on it tend to repeat history. So that's why you don't worry about it. You can't. Because it puts a self-fulfilling prophecy in your mind.
So you don't think it means anything?
Happen.
You think I just wasted
just
your
win,
time
just
performing?
Just win game one.
That's my point. But that's my point, too. They better win game one, because if they lose game one, they're dead. That's my point.
Invalidate your research, your empirical study that you just did by winning game one, Knicks, and then we don't have to listen to Evan talk about the risk and the dangers of the Knicks losing game one in a series.
Or you could lose game one, win a series, and say, wow, all of that turned out to be for naught because Loogie's, the Knicks ended that historical streak.
As Loogie said, it means nothing.
Okay.
As long as you're not worried about it, as long as you're not dwelling on it, it means nothing.
Listen, everything at the end of the day means nothing because every day is a new day. So what you did yesterday, I guess, technically doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But let it be known, as we are now a little over 24 hours away from a rocking Madison Square Garden where the New York Knicks take on the Philadelphia 76ers in the postseason for the first time since 1989, let the record show that history tells you you better win tomorrow.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
If you don't win tomorrow, history tells you you are dead. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
History could go F itself. I mean, who cares? What does that matter?
And history has told us a lot of things that aren't always true.
Well, no, true at the time. It's true that the Knicks have never won a series when they lost game one at Madison Square Garden.
But
you have a chance
then.
To erase that.
That was then. This is now.
Okay. So if they lose on Saturday, you will tell us on Monday, both you, Lou Tiki, and Loogie, it don't mean anything.
Forget the history.
Don't worry.
Yeah, because they lost game one in their series against the Syracuse Bumblebees in 1945, like you pointed out. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, that was just the first time it happened. I also mentioned Atlanta. I mentioned Miami. I mentioned 2013.
Great.
I mentioned the last three series that are certainly fresh in your minds. Those are the last three series you've lost.
I'm sure most teams that lose the first game at home in a series probably lose the series.
Not true.
Evan,
I can name a bunch that the Nets won when they lost game one at home.
I'm just saying, Evan, that's a game you want to get most times when you're hosting, and the road team wants to leave with a split.
I understand, but it's still historic. They've never won a game, a series after losing game one at Madison Square Garden. So let that be in your mind, everybody, as you walk into that building tomorrow night, a rockin' Madison Square Garden for Knicks Sixers. Let's get to some of your calls, including Gio in Staten Island. What's up, Gio?
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
What's up, dude?
Just wanted to talk hockey.
Yes.
You know, I'm an Islander fan. My brother's a Ranger fan, whatever. Ugh. But the hottest team in the league is the Islanders. And they got two great goalies. And you know what? They went to the most overtime games. So to lose by one goal, all of them games, I think they're in their game.
It's interesting. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. They played so many overtime games.
Right. I use it as a detriment.
Yeah.
I use it as a, oh, God, look at these 16 overtime losses.
Yeah,
but when you think about it, it's actually you're just slightly not good enough to win games.
Yeah, but the other pot, like, okay, let me give you a comparison of last year.
Or you weren't hot, because most of those were earlier in the season.
Right, but here's why it doesn't necessarily work. So last year when Miami defeated Milwaukee in the NBA playoffs, and trust me, this will make sense once I make the point. I know it's a different sport.
Yeah.
One of the arguments used for why the Heat had so much success against Milwaukee is that the Bucks never played close games. Like, the entire season they were blowing teams out, and all of a sudden they're involved in all these really close games, and they would choke down the stretch while Miami would execute, because all the Heat were involved in was close games, okay? And that actually benefited Miami in that series against the Bucks, and it's why they pulled off that massive upset. Okay, fine, it makes sense. In the NHL, overtime and the shootout is a freaking carnival act. Like, literally, it's not the NHL playoffs in overtime. 3-on-3 for a couple of minutes is not the grind of a 20-minute overtime. So I agree that there's a really good chance we are going to see overtime hockey with our two local teams. No question. We get overtime hockey a lot. It's a part of why playoff hockey is so magical and amazing. And then the game can be endless.
Yeah.
Because there is no 3-on-3, because there is no shootout. So you could get 2 overtimes, 3 overtimes. Craziness. It's not as if the Islanders have played overtime games that replicate what they're about to face.
That's true.
So the only thing it shows you is, yeah, they played a lot of close games throughout the regular season.
It shows like resiliency and fight and, you know, not getting blown out, but it's not instructive on how they're going to play in the overtime in the postseason.
The way
it's a different grind.
Right, the way Miami, it was instructive. They were in so many close games that down the stretch, they maybe had a benefit to them when they were playing the Bucks. It's a little bit different.
By the way, you were right. It is the Wizards, the Chicago Zephyrs.
Yeah, I got this weird knowledge of NBA origin history.
You know what they were prior to that?
Hold on. Yes. No. Yes.
No.
Decatur.
No.
No, Fort Wayne.
No.
No, that was the Pistons.
Chicago,
the Pistons
were
the
Packers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, but whatever.
There's a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the L.A. Clippers were the Buffalo Braves.
I know.
The Sacramento Kings were the Rochester Royals. And the Rochester Royals moved to Cincinnati to become the Cincinnati Royals, moved to Kansas City to become the Kansas City Kings, who played in Omaha for a second, then went to Sacramento. How confusing is that?
Very.
Yeah, the NBA's history is kind of drunk.
That's because it was terrible for a while.
Well, it was just a bunch of old, unathletic white guys.
Right.
That's what it was. Let's go to Sharon in Montclair. What's up, Sharon?
Hey there.
Hi.
What up?
I love all of you guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm calling...
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Pardon me?
I said we appreciate you.
I also, Tiki, love when you do the lessons on grammar that you do every once in a while. That's hilarious.
That's only when these guys mess it up.
Which happens a lot, unfortunately.
Well, anyways, I was calling to weigh in on Niagara Falls.
Yes.
And to urge you to go. There is so much to do there. I've been there a couple times. The most recent time was about 5 years ago. And I would definitely say go and stay on the Canadian side.
Yeah, that's what Sean suggested.
Pardon me?
That's what Sean suggested.
Okay. And there is that Jersey Shore aspect to it. However, if you're taking your kids, then, and you go in the summer, you do the falls, and then you do the Jersey Shore thing at night.
So like the boardwalk type thing.
Yeah, there's no boardwalk.
I know, it's like the boardwalk thing.
Yeah. You know, it's got all the junky stuff and the games. And plus, if you stay on the Canadian side, a lot of the hotels have a great view of the falls. And that's really cool.
At
night.
Yeah.
Did Sean tell you that?
Yeah. No, Sean, here's the thing, Sharon. I trust you more than Sean.
Right. Like, what do they light it up at night?
I'm sure they do.
Didn't stay for night. Had to get the heck out of there.
What?
Really?
You didn't even stay the night.
I was there for like 4 hours. I went, lost some money in blackjack.
Now,
I was out of
it. Now I got to look it up.
Well, the problem is Sean is giving advice based on him losing a couple of hands of blackjack and not having a good time.
No, I thought I would end up basically staying a night there. I said, forget it. I want to see a drive-in movie.
You thought you were going to get a free night because you made so much money playing blackjack.
That's not it. There are certain things.
Degenerate. Wow, they did it with colors.
I'm sure that's cool. There are just certain places in the world that are awesome to explore. However, you realize very quickly and you're done for the day.
Yeah, but that's you, okay? I'm going to take my two sons, right? And right now, a 3-year-old specifically thinks everything is amazing. I take him outside. We run around the backyard. He thinks everything is amazing. I take him to Target. He thinks it's amazing. In fact, Spence will routinely say, we go to Target? Can we go to Target? Why? Because it's just cool. So now imagine a freaking falls like Niagara Falls. And even my 7-year-old Jet, they think it's the coolest thing ever. And one thing you have not realized yet, Sean, I'm surprised. I expect this from Loogie. I don't expect this from you. Is you doing it to keep your kids entertained. And if they're entertained by simple things, then it's a success, even if you're bored, even if you lost a few hands at blackjack.
I would say it's more than entertainment. I would say it's experiences.
Yes, that's the right word.
Right, the experiences that you've learned or you experience as a young kid, not to use the word multiple times, but it shapes your perspective on the world.
That's right.
Seriously. And this is why we took the kids to Japan. It's just a different culture. It was more about Brooklyn, who's crazy. And wants to run around and do TikToks and do all this. Like, you can't do it in Japan. You shouldn't do it. And so only way I can tell her this a million times. She's not going to do it. Not going to listen to me unless she sees that she's not supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. Like experiences that there's a different culture on the other side of the world who views what you're doing as rude and obnoxious.
Yes.
And so she learned.
See, that's an experience. Sean's experience is, did I do well at Blackjack? If I did well,
Niagara Falls is great. First of all, I didn't have kids then. Second of all, I'm about to embark on a trip to take my kids to Disneyland in a zoo in San Diego. If it was up to me and not give my kids experiences, I'd go funnel beers in Aruba.
Well, but also, I think you answered it with the first part of your answer. You went to Niagara Falls without your kids.
Yeah. Mm.
Like our bar, I think, maybe I'm crazy here. Our bar, when I go away with the kids, it's a lot easier because everything's freaking exciting.
Yes.
So even if my wife and I are like, oh, man, hotel wasn't great. Ah, that wasn't great. The kids are wide-eyed because they saw this giant water fall from here to there.
And at night, they have lights.
That's right.
Colored lights.
And then the best part for Jet, not for me, is then he gets to watch L.A. Knight climb up that ladder, grab the briefcase, and say, I'm Mr. Money in the Bank.
But, Evan, like you said, they're little kids. They're into anything. Don't take them to Niagara Falls. Take them like a urinal. And then you pick the vacation. You have to take them to a lot. You know, that's waterfalling.
Coming from the guy who has
three.
No kids.
I know. But, Teak, I could come from a perspective that I'm, you know, not too far and far of the forest there. You know what I mean?
What's funny? Boogie makes a lot of sense. Mm. You could get away with a lot less.
Of course you could.
You know what? I'll just take my son, you know, down the block.
Remember arcades back in the day?
Yes.
They don't have them anymore, right? I don't think.
No, they definitely
Well, like Dave and Buster's and stuff like that. But back in the day when I used to go to the arcades,
Jersey Shore much?
Yeah.
You ever been to the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, but I'm saying back as a kid, I used to play all the time. My mom or grandma wouldn't give me a quarter. I would just be playing, thinking I'm playing, and they were saving money. We're the kids. You're the adult. Like,
unrelated, but I'm so glad you brought up arcades because I've always thought this for a very long time. Dave and Buster's, RPM, which is a cool place around town. I love these places. Places in Atlantic City for the kids, they're all amazing. What I'm about to say is the truth, even if they don't like it. As cool as those places are, aren't we just teaching our kids legalized gambling?
Yeah.
Like, that's all we're doing. Go play a game.
An arcade?
Yes. Win tickets. And then the tickets get you a prize. It's gambling, dude.
Okay, yeah,
it's the same freaking thing.
But that's a different... That's a different kind of arcade than what I grew up watching.
Right, like the Ninja Turtle arcade. Right. When
I was going to the mall and going to the arcade, we were playing like Mortal Kombat.
That's a little bit different. And I agree.
We're
like
playing
those
games to try to win.
Those are different. Like when
but
you're
you
playing,
getting tickets, you just sticking a quarter in and trying to get as far as you can go.
But Tiki, that's Dave and Buster's. That's RPM. That's Atlantic City. That's what it is now. And even those games you're talking about. Now they do give you tickets for how well you do. Skee ball, here's tickets, tickets.
Man.
It is gambling. I'm not complaining, folks. I get it. I allow my kids to do it. I gamble. I try to make sure that they understand, let's not get addicted to this. Let's be responsible with this. But can we at least call it for what it is? Can we at least have that conversation and say that is legal kid gambling?
I refuse to say it's kid gambling. I think it's just you purchasing something. You're overpaying for it.
No. I think it's gambling, but on the flip side, it's time the Borgata got some skee-ball machines in.
We apologize for that excessively long break. It's somebody's fault. I can't say who.
Me.
By the way, if you're going to the Yankee game on Saturday, here's the deal. So you can enjoy the tribute to John Sterling. Be in your seat, ready to go by 12:30, because the ceremony to honor John Sterling will be on the field and will begin at around 12:30. So get your seats, be ready to go, and we'll get a chance to tribute the voice of a generation, the great John Sterling. And speaking of the Yankees, they are back home tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Their lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Anthony Volpe is leading off. Juan Soto is batting second. Aaron Judge in center field. Giancarlo Stanton cleaning it up. Anthony Rizzo at first base. Kleyber Torres batting sixth. Alex Verdugo batting seventh. Jose Trevino in the lineup against the lefty Tyler Alexander. And as Waldo Cabrera, your every single day third baseman, batting ninth and playing third base. There are two guys in the Tampa Bay lineup that have the connections to the local teams. Number one, you've got former Met Ahmed Rosario in the lineup playing right field. And then you've got the return. And I wonder if the Yankees give him a tribute video. Because guess who's back as a member of the Tampa Bay Rays? The immortal last piece of the Josh Donaldson trade, Ben Roethlisberger. That's right. He's on the Tampa Bay Rays. So big tribute tonight as he returns to Yankee Stadium. I'll tell you about the New York Philly history because it is fascinating when you think about all of our matchups postseason-wise. But let's get to some of your calls, including Elias in Connecticut. What's up, Elias?
Hey, how are you, Evan and Tiki? First of all, I want to tell you guys are the number one sports talk, and I appreciate every day your opinion on sports. And I've been following you, Evan, since Joe. And as I said, I love the show.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. We both appreciate it.
No problem. So I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you first. With the Nets, you know, I don't disrespect the Nets. Okay,
the Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
F them.
So, when you guys had Durant, Harden, and Irving, you guys were the talk of the town, and you guys were just living it up. Mm-hmm. But you guys got no chip. So now, you got to sit back and watch the New York Knicks. Now, my thing is that you made some points that, true, if the Knicks lose the first game, there'll be pressure to win game two, which will cause probably all Knicks fans like myself to get a little frantic. Because I've been going back since I was 1980 as a Knicks fan. Mm-hmm. I'm 50 years old, going to Rory Sparrow days and Mr. Walker and all the other cats that were there. But anyway, I think the Knicks, to win, they need obviously to stop the other guys on the team for Philly. Now, their defense is going to be key. And I would have to also say that Bogdanovich has got to be a big role also.
No doubt. He's one of the rare shot creators that you have. And so when Jalen is on the bench, because he's not playing 45 minutes right out the gate. If you look at last year's postseason, it wasn't until the very end of the Miami series where we saw Tom Thibodeau push him to playing. He actually played 48 minutes. I think it was in game five. We talked about that the other day. So Bogdanovich offensively, even though he can be hunted out defensively, and I think Tom Thibodeau will game plan on how to hide that by making sure there's good defenders on the floor with him. But Bogdanovich is important because he is an offensive weapon who can create his own shot and give you that while Jalen's on the bench.
Right, and they need scoring. You know, without Julius Randle, we've said it many times, the guaranteed score is not there. The bully score is not there. It's the one thing they're going to miss, actually, is that if they have to play a physical style of offense, who does it?
Hmm.
I mean, Jalen will try, but I mean.
Well, on a nightly basis, they're going to need, and this was a question I posed to Knicks fans earlier this season, I would say, after Julius was out, so not that much earlier this season, who's your second best player? And I think the answer to that is every night someone's got to step up.
Yeah, someone different every night.
There's going to have to be a big Dante DiVincenzo night. There's going to have to be a big Deuce McBride night.
You're talking offensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, defensively is different.
That's a different story.
It's OG. It's obvious, but. Yeah. Offensively, that's the one thing you don't know, right? Is these guys haven't done it in the postseason. Right? Deuce hasn't done it in the postseason. I guess Josh has a little bit, but Dante hasn't, right? What's the big stage going to do to him? And it could do nothing. It could just be so cool and collected and dudes and dogs, like Lugie says, that they just keep doing damage. Or it's a bigger stage, man. It really ramps up.
Can I ask you a question?
They have to be ready for it.
I'm just curious. That last gentleman who called in, nice guy, very nice guy, paid us some nice compliments. And then he said something that was irrelevant. It didn't mean anything. He talked about three basketball players that do not play in New York City anymore. I'm not even going to name their names because they don't mean anything to me anymore. And he brought that up and said, you didn't win a championship. And then moved on and then talked about the Knicks. Who cares about that other team that didn't win a championship?
He's doing what you do all the time.
What do I do all the time?
Subtle troll.
What am I? I'm not trolling. I'm talking hoop.
No.
I'm breaking down the game.
No,
let's go.
He was subtle trolling you.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
Well, that's
He's
fine.
Like, you guys thought you had, talking about the Nets, you thought you had the city. You had the three.
I never thought we had the city.
A big three, not the big three. Okay. You had a big three.
Yeah.
And you didn't get a chance.
I understand.
So sit back and watch.
Yeah, Tiki, what he did is similar to somebody saying, you know, it's not like other radio hacks who think the Rangers are going to roll through the Capitals, you know, stuff like that.
Well, first of all, I said that 4 hours ago. So if anyone who missed that, they could rewind to about 2:17 p.m. when Sean said the Rangers should not even put the skates on and play this series against Washington because they're going to sweep them and it's going to be easy. Those are your words, not mine.
That's what you said.
I predicted.
You didn't predict four.
Yes, he did.
I ended up predicting four, but that's not what I said in that statement.
No, in that statement, he said the series is already over.
The series is already over. They've won the series, which is true.
That's an incredibly arrogant, like not seeing the forest through the trees kind of statement, especially considering you're a hockey guy and you know that the NHL is littered with upsets all the time, especially teams that win the President's Trophy. And oh, by the way, you're going up against the franchise and a team that while they snuck into the playoffs and while they had a horrible negative goal differential, they have a guy on the ice who's one of the greatest to ever lace him up. And while he's 38 and he hasn't had the greatest year in the world, can you please put some respect on his name?
I did.
Say his name.
Alex Ovechkin.
Say his name again.
Alex Ovechkin, bitch. And I did when I told you I preferred the Red Wings. That being said, they're still going to win. I don't care how arrogant it sounds. The series is over. The Rangers win.
Can you believe that, Tiki?
Dude, you're just touching it.
He's not just touching it. He's got his clothes off and his body all over
it. That's it. I'm caressing it with oil, baby.
You are looking to become public enemy number one of all Ranger fans if they come up short against the Caps. You know
time,
that.
No, I don't care. It's time Ranger fans stopped acting scared and embrace the expectations. Let's go.
Do you think the Rangers are winning the Stanley Cup this year?
I really do.
I really do.
Eclipses, earthquake, OJ dead, Rangers are winning.
God. How that all relates, I have no idea. But I'm sure someplace in the recesses of your mind it made sense.
The only thing that did make sense to me was OJ being dead.
Well, apparently there was a minor earthquake in this area, and the last like eclipse like that in this area also happened in the spring of 94.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's been a lot of correlations keep coming up.
Huh. Mm. Okay. That means the Knicks are going to the NBA Finals as well?
Oh, in 94 was the OJ thing.
Certain sacrifices have to be made. Evan.
I got it. Now it makes sense. Just need a little clarity.
There you go.
Joe is calling from Connecticut. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good. What's up?
Hey, I love Tiki's grammar. I was a former English teacher. I'm going to bring something up and challenge you guys.
Go ahead.
The word throughout the playoffs, the word grind, probably the most overused word in sports. Do you think he can do that?
So what, you're asking
not
Tiki
use grind.
Wait, are you asking for a synonym or to just not use it?
Not use the word. I listen to you guys. I listen all day. I listen to all the sports radio and every interview, every player, every, you know, you have to use the word grind. After a while, as an English teacher, I used to tell kids, don't use the same word. Use a different word. If I hear grind one more time.
So then, but here's the key. But here's the key to all of it, Joe, because I do appreciate it. I never want to use the same word over and over again, and sometimes I do. And sometimes I think to myself, stop using the same freaking word over and over again, like freaking. What is a good synonym to use with grind? Because I think grind is a very relevant word.
Well, you cut them
this
off.
Series is going to be a grind.
You cut them off.
That's because it's your chance to be a star and tell me what the other word is. Why are we asking him? Let's ask you.
Let's look it up.
Everybody loves your grammar, not Joe's. No offense to Joe. Sounds like a wonderful human. But, I mean, this is about Tiki Barber.
Oh, he's a teacher.
Okay, but you're Tiki.
So the problem is grind has many different... And it could be crush, right?
This is why Tiki's upset I cut Joe off, because he doesn't have the answer.
Well, the problem is the way we misuse the word.
Do we? Saying the baseball season is a grind or this series is a grind is a misuse?
Yeah.
Because, so what should we say instead?
Because grind is also a verb. And so
I'm already confused.
So if you crush something, what are you doing? I'm crushing. That's a verb.
Yeah.
Pound. Like, it's you're... The way we use it is difficult.
Okay, so there is no other word to use?
I'm sure there are, but...
This season is a bleep. This season is a... This series is going to be a... Ooh, you've got to eat out to win this game.
Grit fest.
Rock fight.
A toil. A toil. A toil.
A toil?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
This is the problem with Joe's critique. Mm-hmm. Joe doesn't want us to use a word that apparently is not replaceable. You have to use grind. How else can you describe, a lot of the ways we use it? It's a 162-game season. It's a grind. This series against Philly, it's going to be a grind.
It's a strain. Eh. It doesn't sound right.
Doesn't work. Doesn't sound right.
Because a grind could be successful. A strain doesn't sound like it is.
No, not at all. Sounds like Aaron Judge on a Tuesday. I strain this. I strain that.
See, that's what we're talking about, the subtle trolls.
No, it's not a subtle troll. The guy gets hurt a lot.
Or hard work.
No, I can't say hard work. Doesn't work.
No, I agree. Nothing works.
So, Tiki, your homework assignment this weekend.
I will find a synonym.
It's to find a synonym for grind.
No, a replacement, because we're not allowed to use it anymore.
There you go. Let's go to Tom in Monmouth Beach, I should say. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up?
Hello.
Mindy. Hey, Tiki, first of all, thank you for everything, man. Longtime Giant fan. Appreciate everything you've done.
Thank you, Tom.
And then I'm going to go real quick back to Niagara. There's another couple things up there you can look at. For starters, the locks is a really cool thing to check out up there.
The lock.
I mean,
like,
yeah, the lock that bring you up and down from the lake.
Oh.
For the boat?
It's like a ride.
Got it. It's not a ride.
No, it's not.
It's
sounded like it to me. I was all excited.
It's how they move bodies of water. Are you up bodies of water from different altitudes, right?
Yeah, and then what they do is they'll put a boat in this little channel. They'll lift it up from one level to the other, and then you can actually, it's like stairs to get up to another lake, another level of water.
Right. That's actually pretty
cool. It's really cool. Very large ships go up there, too. It's pretty sharp.
I've seen those. Where did I see them? It was in California, I think. I was driving up to Vancouver, and I saw them. It's bizarre because you're in altitude, like you're high, but the water, it's like your sea level.
Wait, so are you on the ride or no?
No,
it's not a ride.
It's not a ride. It's for cargo ships.
So what are we doing? Are we just watching this happen?
It's just the way that they do it is pretty cool.
No, but my question is, okay, so he described it, sounded cool. Yeah. What are we doing? Are we just watching it?
Yeah, just look at it.
Oh, so we're not riding.
No, it's not a ride.
Okay. No, I'm just, what the hell do I
want? It's for the cargo ships. It's how they get to these different elevations.
Are there any rides at Niagara Falls?
I do not know. Sean would have
like,
to
are you
us.
Able to, like, yeah. ride the falls?
No. You're able to ride the boat. It goes right underneath you. You get slammed with, like, pressurized water.
I like that. That's like a ride at Disney World.
Yeah.
See, I like that. Yes. By the way, if you guys had to guess, and I did do the research because I do way too much research for this show, clearly. Do you know how many times New York has taken on Philadelphia? And by New York, I do include the Devils and the old New Jersey Nets, just for the record.
Okay.
Do you know how many times New York has faced Philadelphia in a series?
And or singular playoff football game?
Yeah, the Eagles and Giants count as a series. Like, if we included that, do you know what the answer is?
22.
That's your guess. That's very, very interesting. I have the number right now. It's not even close.
12.
The answer is 39.
What?
39. Huh. 39 times. The Rangers and Flyers have faced each other in the postseason 12 times. Mm. They've only done it once in the last two decades. Recently, yeah. It was 2000.
The Cup run, 2014.
2014. And before that was all the way back in 1997. But before that, and this is why a lot of Ranger fans hate the Philadelphia Flyers, they have faced each other 12 times. Mm-hmm. The Islanders, most recently 2020, it's so weird it was the pandemic year, but it absolutely counts. They won a game 7 against the Flyers. I'll never forget it. Like I know where I was kind of moment. But they've played them 5 times. The Devils have played them 6 times.
That's a big combo for hockey. That does inflate the number.
No, it inflates the number, but it's also why the Flyers, because I put out a poll earlier this morning, very simple.
Football-dominated, right?
Well, I'll give you the answer. Which Philadelphia sports team do you hate the most? A very basic question, but you assume it's
football.
The Eagles by a lot. The answer is the Eagles by a pretty good margin. 49% said the Eagles.
Makes sense.
32% said the Phillies. And here's what's funny about the Phillies. The Mets and Phillies have never played in the postseason.
The Yankees have.
The Yankees have twice. They faced them in the World Series in 2009, and they played them in the World Series a long time earlier in 1950. Yankees won both times. But that's it. Like, the baseball connection is not related to the postseason, and it's really not even related to that many pennant races. Because the Mets and the Phillies, for my money, were only in a handful of pennant races. 2007, 2008. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? What are the pennant races? Were they really in against each other?
It's more the Braves rotating out the Mets and Phillies into their
play. I agree. The 76ers finished dead last. Only 6% of sports fans hate the Sixers the most. The Flyers were at 13%. I thought the Flyers would be higher because there are a lot of Ranger fans that hate the Flyers, and Islander fans don't like the Flyers. But I think that the Giant fan in general dominated this because the Jet fan doesn't really care about the Eagles. We have no history with them. No. We finally beat them this year, but what the hell does that really mean?
Nothing. Football is a dominant one.
And I think because of that, if you're ranking like the filth of Philly fandom, there's something slightly trashier than the other teams about being an Eagle fan when it comes to like
football.
Yeah, volatility towards New York fans.
Yeah, because it's such a violent, I mean, hockey's a violent sport too, but it's different. But it's such a violent sport that the fans kind of, it comes off through them.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? And then the parking lot and the craziness in the stands.
Right. Like, when you think Philly fans are trashy, you think them in a
talking because,
shirt.
By the way, I don't think that way when I go to, I've been to a couple of Philly 76ers basketball games because my buddy Berkowitz is a 76ers fan. So I've gone with him. And it doesn't feel like it's crazy.
It's not. I've been to a lot of 76er games. I've been to 76er playoff games. Right. That's why I'm so not afraid of going to one in a couple of weeks.
Football games feel crazy.
Yeah.
But basketball doesn't. I've never been to a hockey game down there. So it's different.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Flyer game. So that one may be a little bit different, how sick and vile they get for that. But overall, I did the math. I could be off by one or two. The overall record is 21-18 in favor of Philadelphia.
What?
How about that? Yeah. Well, the Eagles over the Giants 3-2.
Yeah.
In fact, every Philadelphia team has the edge over a New York team with the exception of the New York Yankees. So like everything else in life, the Yankees just carry us. I mean, think about it. The Nets have lost to them a bunch of times.
Well,
even the Knicks.
3-2 for the Giants isn't that bad.
It's a loss, Tiggy.
I know, but it's not that bad.
I didn't say it was bad. Yeah. It's a loss. Look, none of them are bad.
By the way, I think
none of them are actually bad. It's just the Philadelphia beats or is tied. And most of them, like Rangers Flyers is 6-6. Devils Flyers is 3-3. Islanders Flyers is 3-2. Nets 76ers, I think, is 3-1 Philadelphia. Philadelphia against the Knicks, 3-1. So none of it's bad. It's just that they have the edge. So no pressure, Knicks.
I think I was 1-1.
In your postseason history?
Yeah, against the Eagles.
Well, you definitely lost to them in 2006.
Yeah, my last game.
I remember that one. And then when did they beat them before that?
We played them 1 year three times because we played them in the playoffs.
Sure.
I'm forgetting
that.
This
is why you're here as a giant dictionary.
Didn't we play them 1 year? Because remember, I remember the narrative like, oh, it's hard to beat a team three times in a single season.
That was the Seahorn interception game in 2000.
Yes.
We won 3.
That's right. That's the second round. That was the divisional round.
Yes.
You beat Philadelphia and then you beat Minnesota. You're right. Yeah. Good call.
Didn't score an offensive touchdown in that
game. Nope.
Interesting.
Seahorn.
Let's go to Mike in Lindenhurst. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I used to be a big fan of the double D's. Now I'm all in on the triple D's. Dudes, dogs, and damage.
Dudes, dogs, and damage. And it all begins tomorrow, 24 hours, 6 o'clock. You want to go to the game, Loogie, tomorrow night?
Loogie.
I never thought about incorporating it to a bra size. I'm going to write that one.
You're
down.
Still enamored by that?
Very enamored.
Do you want my tickets for tomorrow night?
I know you sold them. Don't give me this whole. Don't do what you're about to do here. Where you slide the cheese out, I say yes. You go, oh, sorry, I don't have them. I know you don't have them.
I actually haven't sold them yet. True story. I still have my tickets for tomorrow night. I'm thinking of going. I'm thinking of taking one of my sons, the Knicks Sixers. Teach him how to root for Philadelphia at a young age.
Well, don't do that. Stop.
Your son into a hater.
I am so kidding. There is no way on earth I am taking my sons to a New York Knicks playoff game. The one New York Knicks playoff game they'll ever go to is the day the Nets play them. That's it. So you have nothing to worry about. I can promise you that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.